The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning is Jim Benson, Senior Vice President at a company called Human Touch. And ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in 384 shows, I'm going to get in trouble with the FCC. Yes, write it down. They're going to be dragging me out of this studio because I'm going to talk about four-letter words today. Yes, it's true. Four-letter words. No, and not those kind of four-letter words. The four-letter words we're going to talk about today are PAAS, IAAS, and SAAS. And here to share his knowledge with all things cloud and service software as a service and platform as a service is Jim Benson. Jim, tell us a little about your background and how you got wound up with this company called Human Touch. And is it a massage company? What does Human Touch do anyway?
Hi, John. Well, thanks for having me in the studio. Human Touch. We're a global leader in solutions that really help organizations maximize the visibility and the transparency of their business ops. But I think at the heart of who we are, we're a technology company. We support clients in the civil space, the defense space, and the commercial space. But really, the heart of Human Touch and the heart of the name is the human aspect of it. My prior background, I spent a lot of time working for kind of big six consulting companies, and the human side of it is something that often goes unnoticed. And it's really working with clients side by side, touching them in their role day to day, that kind of differentiates us and sets us apart on why we can really deliver impactful solutions.
Makes sense now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. More information, you can go to humantouchllc.com.
Yep.
It's a pretty nice little website. It's got white papers, information on Jim. It's got all kinds of stuff about their organization. Work with many different agencies and everything else. We'll talk about the agencies later. I think the focus of this conversation today is I had this silly opening about four-letter words, but really that's what I'm going to talk about. Infrastructure as a service. Platform as a service and software as a service. And boy, you know, you're sitting in the metro, you're at lunch with someone, you're at an event, and they throw these terms out. Oh, yeah, it's a platform. Oh, yeah, well, I know what that is. Well, maybe some of my listeners, no, I'm sure that some of my listeners know exactly what it is, but there may be some that are kind of curious, scratching their head going, let me see, software as a service. What the heck is that anyway? There's so many as a service thrown out there. Perhaps, Jim, we can start this conversation with the old Webster Dictionary. It's okay, so what is this stuff you're talking about? PAAS. What exactly is platform as a service and what is it compared to?
Yeah, so it's interesting these days and having been around for, you know, going through client server days, going through web days. Now we're in this whole service genre, and infrastructure service is pretty simple, right? It's kind of outsourcing all of your servers, virtualization, really getting somebody else to manage the complexity of patches and infrastructure and such. So, you know, you got a lot of great companies that are out doing that. Software as a service. I mean, we use a lot of that. You know, I use it with my banking company. I think we can all get our head around that. But platform as a service is something that's emerging that has the impact to really disrupt and really be one of those kind of game-changing investments for folks. And we're seeing it, you know, via a number of reports. We're even seeing it in the federal budget. The growth is starting to take off. And really at the heart of it, I mean, in how folks and how organizations traditionally pick up application development, you've got people, you've got servers, you've got software, you've got your solutions and your software development lifecycle. Platform as a service, its goal is to abstract a lot of that and really start to commoditize software development. It's giving you the tools on demand that come pre-tested, pre-arrived, that can scale on demand so that you can quickly accelerate time to market. And we're seeing that with a lot of kind of leading innovators out in the commercial space. But we're also starting to see organizations like GSA, we're seeing Department of Transportation and others really start to get behind this because it's changing the game in how they can, rapidly grow and evolve their business. And we all know that's pretty tough in today's economy.
My wife tells me I tend to oversimplify and paint things in broad brushstrokes, but what the heck? I'll toss this out and you can throw a chair at me or something. So when I look at software as a service, you could do software as a service in a big enterprise and have a big old building and have a server down the hall and provide software as a service to an organization or an enterprise. That's how I look at it. When I look at a platform as a service, I guess that's maybe the next step where you develop software using that architecture. And then infrastructure as a service, I guess that's the other end of the spectrum here. Yeah. And I think more of compute. So one end is software. The other one is developing, and the other one is compute. So these three levels here, and what I think my listeners have to do is they have to form their own grid and definition and say, okay, here I'm at the agency, and our goals are X, Y, and Z. Now, can I use software as a service to accomplish those goals? Can I use platform as a service? Can I use infrastructure? And every agency is going to answer that differently because of security restrictions and all kinds of different – But in general, many of the civilian agencies, I would think, can take advantage of some of the efficiencies that platform as a service provides for. I would guess.
Yeah, absolutely, I think that's spot on. I think the only addition that I would add to that is while platform focuses, or I'm sorry, while infrastructure focuses on the hardware, while software as a service focuses on obviously the software. PaaS kind of combines both of those. It gives you both the infrastructure and it gives you both the software and the environment behind it to build these things and get them out really quickly.
Many of my listeners always beat themselves up and say, oh, woe is me. We have all these problems and we're not up to speed with this and up to speed with that. And in the commercial world, they're doing X, Y, and Z. And my refrain, and you can listen to my shows, is no. You're an enterprise. All enterprise level organizations suffer from the same problems. They're kind of like a big boat. They all have the same kind of problems that they have to share. And for example, let's talk of Gartner. When they look at worldwide software sales, they look at $400 billion in sales. And they look like at software as a service, platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, as only being about 15% of that.
Yeah.
So it's really that's how it's distributed in the world. And so if you're working for an agency and saying, well, geez, we have a mainframe down the hall. Well, there are probably large organizations that can say the same thing. And yeah. I think what my listeners have to realize is that it's not the John Gilroy black or white. It's not all mainframe or nothing. It's well, what's the right tool? When's the 9/16 wrench apply? And when does a hacksaw apply? And I think this is what we're trying to do today is just, okay, this is what platform as a service is. This is how we define it. This is a use case where it may apply to you in your agency.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good point. Sometimes organizations have you get motivated. It's something that makes a lot of sense. And sometimes you can over-rotate. It's not for everything. Right, you're not going to outsource your applications, your big applications. Let's take, for instance, financial management. Let's take mission critical systems, systems that are protecting lives, missile systems. Those aren't candidates. However, the thousands of kind of business apps, that are not that complex. That from a security perspective, yeah, they need to be secure, but not to a point, that we're jeopardizing national security. There are hundreds of millions of dollars in investments in these, and changing the way and bringing them and reducing the cost of those has a significant advantage. So each agency, it's up to them, because I think you're right. There's still a need for legacy. There's still a need for a client server. But for those opportunities where you can really simplify and reduce the complexity of the thousands of different apps, that's a great candidate.
So to just toss out a quick phrase here, so something like Salesforce, would that be part of the platform as a service type of app?
Absolutely.
We call that, so that's more platform as a service. And infrastructure as a service, maybe using an Amazon Web like Redshift to work through a large databases or something. So that would be IaaS would be like Amazon Redshift, and PaaS might be something like Salesforce. Well, that's a good place to start. Let's take a break. We come back. We'll talk about Jim's article in Government Computer News, 6 Reasons Contractors Are Struggling to Embrace PaaS, and talk more about Human Touch LLC. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jim Benson, Senior Vice President at Human Touch LLC. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jim Benson, Senior Vice President at Human Touch LLC, and it is a software development company. It works with a wide range of clients and a wide range of projects, and they're involved in platform as a service, and that's why we have Jim in the studio. We're talking four-letter words today. We're talking SaaS, PaaS, and IaaS, and if you're as confused as I am, I suggest you go to your little Google machine and type in 6 reasons contractors are struggling to embrace PaaS, and you get a good summary of Jim's argument. In fact, it's probably a summary of what we're going to talk about in the radio today. So, Jim, GCN, you wrote this article in September. It seems like it punch. This is what it is. It punches out 6 reasons and overcomes some objections. It seems like a real nice summary, doesn't it?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was, We've been in the space for a long time. We've worked with a lot of companies and contractors, and I even say that including Human Touch, contractors struggle to embrace PaaS for a number of reasons, and some that are really their own issues and their own challenges. Part of that, to your earlier point, is some folks just don't understand it. The other part is some folks have. And some organizations have real institutional challenges to really drive and embrace and adopt platform as a service because it is a game changer not only for the agencies that are using it, but it represents a major disruption for a lot of the SIs and the contractors that are deploying it out.
That's the first point you make is that integrators feel no pressure to finish their jobs faster.
No.
We've always done it this way, and we're making money, and we're fat and happy, and why should we change? But you're saying, well, hey, if it's quicker, faster, more efficient, and more agile, well, then you don't have a choice.
Yeah, well, and there's no pressure for them to do so either. This is a two-way street, right? One, you have to have clients that truly understand the impact and the opportunities around PaaS. And two, you have to have organizations that are delivering those. And that match is a perfect match. I mean, there are some huge, huge success stories out there, for instance, over at GSA and other areas. But for those where they're not in the match, there's a big conflict. And for contractors to really start driving the value here, they need to be told to do so.
And let's put some cards on the table here. And this is point number two: is that systems integrators who contract to the federal government like to use their own stuff. Well, that's true. I mean, it's called being human. Maybe that's what Human Touch is all about. Human beings like their own stuff, and that's the way it is. And well, just because you like to bicycle to work, or I don't know what the analogy here is, just because you've always done it this way, maybe there's a bridge you should do it a different way. Yeah. No, I've always gone this way. Well, there's a bridge you can make it quicker and faster. No, I've always done it this way. And I think these humans, you know, if they're successful with one approach, they tend to repeat, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I think the other piece to that is, and I didn't write this from a standpoint of, you know, people kind of want to own their own stuff, but there's a comfort level. They've institutionalized their existing processes. They've institutionalized their investments in infrastructure and people and like I said, processes, and shifting that responsibility and capitalizing on things that are kind of outside their control is risky. So, you know, you've got, and I think we're going to see probably over the next 12 to 18 months more movement towards that, especially as the market continues to drive and grow. But it's a big change, and there's a natural tendency to pull back.
David Bowie years ago wrote a song talk about changes, And, you know, I'm looking at you. We talked in the break about your recent trip to San Francisco, and bang, it just dawned on me about changes and flexibility. And normally, if my wife and I go to San Francisco, I would find a place to stay, maybe at a Marriott suite or something. We'd reserve it, and we'd go out there. We'd come back. Now, what if I went to New Orleans during Super Bowl week? Well, hotels are gone. I'd have to be more flexible and figure out how to do it. You're in a situation, you went out to San Francisco, and maybe all the hotels were gone, so you had to be flexible. So instead of the standard traditional, we've always done it this way. No, Jim. We always stay at the Marriott Suites. No, they're all full. Well, we stay there anyway. No, we have to be flexible. So you can go to the YMCA, or what did you do?
Airbnb? Yeah, interesting. Airbnb, and you're right. So yeah, Dreamforce in San Francisco, 145,000 people.
100,000?
That's like 6% of San Francisco's population. So you can imagine the price of hotels and such, and we couldn't afford it. So you look for alternative means. You look for different ways to be able to save money and be able to do the same thing.
PaaS, yeah. Platform as a Service. That's, you're an agency. You run out of money. You run out of time. People are leaving. You're under the pressure. All of a sudden, maybe you can't do it the way you have. Okay, now I'll call in Jim Benson. He wrote this article and see maybe we can use tools that we're not comfortable with and some, because we have a choice. Yeah. And so that's what you did. You went to Airbnb. And was it a home you stayed at? Where did you stay at?
Yeah, it was a home. Now, was it as sexy as the Ritz? No, it wasn't. But we didn't need that. All we wanted was a place to stay, be able to come back, you know, have some dinner there, and then go out and do the things that we wanted to do. It's a very interesting, you made that analogy, because it's spot on. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of extras. Yeah, you're going to get, the sense of a Ritz, and the power of a Ritz when you're there. But given today's budget pressures, given today's sensitivities on doing more with less, do you really need those things? Not that you can't have them with pass, but why don't we start with, let's just put a roof over our head, and then we can figure out how to go from there.
Yeah, well traditionally, we've always contracted with a company like Oracle, and we spent 6 months defining our requirements, and then we spent 6 months getting to know, and then they switch in new people, then they have new consultants, and we got to reteach them, and then it's a year. And wait. We can't do a year. How about 6 weeks?
Yeah.
How about, you know, let's plug this in 6 weeks, because the whole precept of agile software development is fail early, fail often. You go out there, you fail, you screw up. Oh, you wanted it green. No, not yet. Data green this. Okay. You change again. What about this? And so the long lifestyle back in the day of, you know, the previous generation client server with systems like Oracle and SAP, we all know the names. It's just, it doesn't work in a tough situation like now. Back when you had money, that might have worked, but ain't no money, buddy, huh?
Yeah. I think what's more so, and I think this was another point in the article, was that goes both ways. One, you know, getting contractors and SIs to be able to deliver on the past, yeah, we get that. The second side of that is getting the government and getting organizations to really understand the value proposition behind this. Because, look, you know, today's environment is, we've got a problem, we've got an issue, we've got a challenge, we're going to put an RFP out, and we're going to get back a set of responses. The set of responses, probably 70% of those are going to be traditional software development.
This is what we've all done it this way. Yep.
And when you come back with something that is radically different, meaning we can do this in 6 weeks instead of 6 months, we can do this for 6,000 instead of 600,000 or whatever the number is, folks tend to look at that as risk. And especially on the client side, is this really real? And so then you got to balance, all right, well, do I want to take a risk with this, or do I want to go back to the traditional model? And this is the kind of evolution that we're on, and we're starting to see that increase more and more year after year.
Now, if my daughter gets married, I'm probably going to have a cash reservation on maybe a winery in Virginia, and we're going to have a contract there because I want to hold that date. Yes. Now, if I take the family on a spur-of-the-moment vacation somewhere to Annapolis in October here, well, maybe I can do the Airbnb thing because there are different levels of requirements there, right? Yep. One's a marriage. One's just, hey, let's go to Annapolis this weekend. It's off-season. Okay, let's do something quick. So you have to figure out, and you got to match the right tool with the right application. And I think my listeners are getting forced into it. And if a system integrator says, well, you know, we've always done it this way, and we prefer to stick with what you know, well, you're going to lose.
Yeah, well, having three daughters of my own, I am all in for Airbnb and pass
for weddings.
For weddings, yeah.
Yeah, I got two daughters too, and I'm not thinking about that now. Yeah. The last note I got from my daughter, by the way, was over the weekend. She said, "When I got off the plane in Kathmandu, the first thing we did was bungee jumping."
Oh, jeez.
Which is very reassuring for a father.
Yeah.
And she'll be taking buses down the Himalayas to a place called Bangalore. And, you know,
Good for her, though.
Just exactly what a dad wants to hear, isn't it? Just exactly what a dad
wants to hear.
Bungee jumping and then one of the safe buses going down the mountains. Yeah. We're not going to talk about safe buses. We're going to take a break, talk about safe software development and where this whole concept of platform as a service fits in for you. And maybe there's some listeners that are going to turn off the radio and go, no, it's not a fit. Well, fine. But this is an option. You have to consider it. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. Jim Benson, Senior Vice President at Human Touch LLC. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. Jim Benson, Senior Vice President at Human Touch LLC, company based in Virginia, wide-ranging company, all kinds of activities, including software as a service, platform as a service, all kinds of different things. And we're just trying to help our listeners, trying to figure out the differences and the variations and where to apply what and what it's all about and why there's some resistance from the federal community. And, oh, by the way, there's some resistance from the contracting community as well on this whole idea of software as a service and platform as a service. We were referring to, before the break, referring to Jim's article in GCN called Six Reasons Contractors Are Struggling to Embrace PaaS. And point number three, and I'll just hit you with this, integrators are uncomfortable with the very concept of platform as a service. What are they, run away screaming or something? Ah!
No, I think the truth there is this is disruptive. It's a disruptive technology. And I think that point wrapped up and it quickly summarizes a lot of the others that were a little bit more pointed. Organizations have built institutional programs around how they develop, deploy, support, and implement solutions for their customers, and given the advantages of platform as a service that starts to commoditize a lot of those processes, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to figure out where do we fit. It's a challenge to figure out what don't we have to do because we have built, and oh, by the way, we're measured, you know, from the federal government on how well we do. So it's really trying to find the balance and what can they do without, what can they double down on? And that's a challenge. It's a challenge for the bigs. It's a challenge for the smalls. So getting their head around this and being able to really fine tune and capitalize upon that has been a challenge.
Let me throw out a specific example here. Curtis Wilburn was in the air last week and USDA, and he had a problem with case management. And he didn't have enough money to do it the old way. Yeah. He had a little bit of money to try it a new way. And he said, well, maybe Salesforce, we can use that as case management. And maybe that's not, because that stuff's already written. It's already, and we can dynamically scale that so we don't have to make this big commitment. And by the way, if it doesn't work, we can walk away from it.
Yeah.
And so at the USDA in his area, they started using this for case management. It only makes sense. So Joe Smith calls in, they have a problem. And then, I talked to him on the 18th and I emailed him the 19th and the 30th, we fixed the problem. And you can document that. And all of a sudden, you don't have to go through systems requirements. You don't have to go through testing. You don't have to go through FSMA blah, 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 because it's already there.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can fail early, fail often. You can fail and try again, fail, try again. But I think this is almost a necessity. This is forcing him to go to Airbnb instead of Marriott because maybe he doesn't have enough money for the Marriott, but he does have this tool. And so that's what I see more and more in companies as well going, well, we can't do it the traditional way because we don't have the money for it. And by the way, the traditional way, new iPhone comes out. How do we change for that?
Yeah, the example you use is a real one, and we're starting to see more and more. I was talking to a competitor company out in San Francisco, and they responded to an RFP, and interesting, the agency said, we have 300 requirements. We want you to use PaaS, and we want to see a demo of the system before we even buy it. That's revolutionary to be able to capitalize upon a platform like that to be able to rapidly configure it, which is a lot different than customize. I mean, that's where a lot of us have grown up in the past. Configuration, configuring something that's already pre-tested, that can scale upon demand, can allow you to do that, and they won the contract. They were radically different from a lot of other folks that more or less said, yes, I understand your requirements, but we're going to come in and we're going to work with you and we're going to implement that over a period of time. This agency didn't have the money, didn't have the time, was under White House and congressional mandates to make something happen. And so I think we're going to see more and more of that. And all of integrators, including Human Touch, we have to figure a way out to be able to work in that ecosystem.
And it's the same is true for state and local as well.
Yeah.
The state and local governments, some states, North Dakota, swimming in money, other states may be hurting.
Yeah.
And so if you have to respond to a mandate from the electorate, and what's the most cheapest, most efficient way you can do it, well, maybe, you know, maybe it isn't the absolute perfect system, but it's pretty good. You know, the car I drove here, it's a 4-cylinder car. Well, I'd prefer an 8-cylinder. But 4-cylinder gives me better mileage. That's fine. The car I grew is not a brand new car. I'd prefer a brand new car. Yeah, me too. My car is used. It's got some miles. That's fine.
Yeah.
And I'd prefer a brand new Mercedes-Benz, but I don't.
Yeah,
but,
you're right.
But this is the trade-off. And in unlimited world where there's tons of money, and oh yeah, let's take 3 years to develop this, and you're developing software for the past tense. It's a challenge for everyone listening.
Yeah, we're we're working with an organization now, a civil agency, that is looking to completely redefine their budget execution, budget management, and their portfolio management processes. But they don't know. They don't know exactly how this is going to work. They've got a concept. They have a vision, and they need a system. So they had a couple of choices. One, we could put something on the street that's half-baked that we're not really sure, or we can capitalize upon PaaS to be able to help us learn as we go and help us test and model things with our users. And you're right, fail early, fail fast, and then change and move on.
Speaking of four-letter words, fail is not a four-letter word. But a four-letter word is blog, B-L-O-G.
Yeah.
I read a blog called Tech Tuesday Blog. Do you write a blog, Jim? Is there a blog you can recommend for my listeners to read to keep in touch with what's going on in this field?
Yeah, we've got a number of different channels and avenues, and the majority of them are on our website. But we have blogs. There you can kind of see the articles and get my thoughts, my comments, my perspectives. We've also got an area around our insights. What are we thinking? What's coming up? What are we forecasting? What are we looking at down the road? Just to be able to get that out there and to be able to put our perspectives out there. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter and pushing stuff out to the market. So any or all of those are great channels.
So your blog is humantouchllc.com.
Yep.
And learn about you, learn about your company and the different endeavors that it has and how it's worked with not only commercial organizations, but federal organizations to help resolve some of these problems. And I'm going to say it again. I said it in the first block. It's like, okay, my govvies who are listening, you know, you're not the only ones who are confused about this. Your client in the agency is not the only one. There are people in Cleveland and Dallas and Tulsa. They're facing the same problem. You know, I mean, we have to adapt to a rapidly changing environment. Well, how rapidly changing is it? Well, let me tell you something. Facebook is not popular with young people anymore. It's gone down in popularity by 20 points. That switched just in the last 6 months. All of a sudden, everyone's on Instagram who's under 30, and the old geezers are on Facebook. And that's, well, from a corporate perspective or an enterprise perspective, is what happens if you do have carefully defined requirements, and they're perfect, and the software is perfect. That is a perfect for 2 years ago. And it's not only changed, it's blown up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go to point number four in your article, and the point is integrators will make less money if they switch to PaaS. Well, now you show me the money here, Jim. Now I think we're hitting a little nerve.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's probably a bit controversial. It wasn't intended to be that way, but it's the truth. The cost model for PaaS is insanely low, And what I mean by that is PaaS leverages, you know, a public, a private cloud, or a public or a hybrid cloud infrastructure. But capitalizing upon any of those infrastructures is less costly. You can bring solutions to the market a lot quicker. It reinvents and redefines requirements management testing because you have platforms that essentially, I don't want to say can't fail, but they have been built not to fail, so that folks can configure them and create these applications quickly. And if we can kind of look back 4 or 5 years, and even somewhat up to date, those were all very monolithic, very detail-oriented processes of why it took 6 to 9 months to bring solutions to the market. And for organizations that are delivering professional services around that, by accelerating that and by reducing that, obviously they're going to make less money.
And who's going to have to force some? Usually, it boils down to money. Okay, we don't have enough money to do it the old way. What options are there? Or there's no other options. Fine, I'll call in human touch. What are the options? Well, have you considered this?
Yeah.
I think that's what people are forced to. When you run out of money, you look at options like Airbnb. Let's take a break and talk more about PaaS. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jim Benson, Senior Vice President at Human Touch LLC. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Jim Benson, Senior Vice President at Human Touch LLC. For more information, it's awful simple, humantouchllc.com. Now, if you want to follow your company on Twitter, it's at HumanTouchUSA. Is that right, Jim?
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
And my handle is at Ray Gilray, because I'm a silly guy and I change things around. And I'll be probably putting my pictures on Twitter. And, you know, a lot of listeners follow things on Twitter, and that's where they get their sports information. They get a lot of information this way. And my guess is people are going to go to LinkedIn and type in PaaS.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll type in that in Twitter. And that's where I think you should, I'm telling you what to do. I think you should have PaaS on your LinkedIn profile, because that's how people find things these days, which doesn't make any sense to me, but nothing makes sense to an old geezer like me. Let's take one more point of your article. And this is a great article, by the way. If you're listening and there's snow on the ground, or pitchers and catchers are reporting in the spring, you know, 6 reasons contractors are struggling to embrace PaaS. It's in government computer. I think it's a real nice one-page summary. And punchy, punch, punch, punch. We've been going through the punches here. Let's talk about punch number 5. And this is what no one wants to say, because I've had a lot of guests on the air, systems integrators. Integrators don't want to deal with tech transformation.
Yeah.
Well, you may get a pie thrown at you after that comment, Mr. Benson.
Yeah. The whole article, I think, has been picked up a lot of different ways. I think you have some folks that are... You're spot on. You have other folks that's pretty controversial. But it's the truth. Part of that truth is my background, working for some and with some very, very large SIs. And the concept is tough. It's challenging. There are institutional processes. There are institutional components that have been in these organizations forever. And they're changing, and not that organizations aren't changing, but to be able to get in front of this and change is, for a lot of these organizations, it's a bit like turning an aircraft carrier. It just takes a long time. There's risk there. And partly, you know, kind of to the fifth point or the sixth point that I put in the article, they can't afford to be wrong, and they just can't. Taking a risk, taking a challenge, to be able to reinvent, reimagine, their operating model, where they have these processes, where they're ISO, they're CMMI level compliant. That's a tough spot. But I think over time, we're going to see more and more start to lean in that direction.
You know, Don, I mean, maybe if you're a 30-year-old working at an agency and you got a 50-year-old boss, let's say, what you might want to do is download this little article and kind of put it to him at the lunch table and go, well, have you read this thing? This guy, Jim Benson, what does he know? Well, let me point by point by point, and maybe he can open their mind up to platform as a service. I mean, this is not twisting arms. This is to say, hey, consider it as an option. That's all. If it saves you money, if it's worked in other organizations, maybe you got to take a chance and it might save you money. I've had many, many guests on the air, Jim, and a lot of people listen. They go, I wonder if he's a card-carrying nerd. I wonder if he, what kind of phone does he have? Yeah. So I've come up with a scientific 10-question test that's going to resolve that question. Okay. See if you're a card-carrying nerd or just a regular normal person. So here we go. Let's go. So I break into your house tonight. How many old-school desktops am I going to find there?
you're going to find two.
Two. Well, that and, you get negative points for and, that young man.
And one of those is I think in our bedroom, and it hasn't been turned on for 4 years just because I haven't done anything with it.
Someone's resistant to change and not just disintegrated. Number two, how many cell phones have you personally purchased in the last year?
Two.
Two, that's good. That's a good answer.
Well, for my kids or just
no,
for
just
me?
No, just you. Yeah. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do.
Okay. Do you have a personal blog?
I do.
Okay. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
An iPhone.
An iPhone. Hmm. Yeah. And what's the most popular app on that phone in the last 30 days?
Uber.
Uber. Well, I've heard that before, I think. And I break into your house tonight. How many tablet devices do I see floating around that house?
Three.
Three. Yeah. Interesting. Are you active in any social networking sites, groups?
Other than LinkedIn, Facebook, just the typical ones.
Okay. Yeah. Next is a new question is, do you have a mobile fitness device?
No, but I need one.
And the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
It was paper.
Jim, you
it
know.
It was paper.
You went downhill from the desktop computer in your house, you know.
I know. You could have been a nerd.
You're more of a nerd wannabe, aren't you?
I closed it out. There's nothing better than just sitting out on the, well, we don't need to go.
Yeah, okay. So you're normal and you're probably in the cool guy category, but yeah, definitely not a nerd. So I would suggest, intensively buy phones every 3 months. That's what nerds do. Why? Because they have to have it. There's no choice.
They have to have it.
There's no choice about that.
Yeah, well, I wasn't waiting in the line for the new iPhone. No, that's crazy.
Well, Jim, you've been in the business a while.
Yeah.
I think a lot of your ideas are innovative and reflecting this article here. You were just out at a conference. I mean, part of your job is to keep track with what's going on and probably project what's going on. You were just at the Dreamforce adventure out in San Francisco, and you came back. So crystal ball time, I mean, what's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 years here with my govies? Are they going to pick up PaaS, or are they going to say, oh, no, this is more like that Chiclet keyboard from the IBM computer 20 years ago? Those funky. Is it going to be adapt, or are they going to be forced to think outside the box? What's going to happen with my listeners in the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I suspect the budget pressures that we're all under, because I do think this is a partnership between customers and clients and the contractors and the integrators that are supporting those. So I do see this as really a partnership, but I don't see the costs and the fiscal uncertainties changing anytime soon. I think there's always going to be there's always going to be a culture of doing more with less. And like a lot of other cultures, as we start to go through those, I think you're going to start to see those institutionalized and clients and customers starting to expect that because they're seeing successes of things like PaaS and others come down the road. I mean, we saw that with infrastructure as a service that's starting to become mainstream. We saw that with software as a service. PaaS is just the next. And look, PaaS isn't for everything. I think, like we said earlier, you wouldn't want to count on somebody else's infrastructure to control the trajectory of Tomahawk missiles. No, it's not for everything. But it is for a lot of things that most every organization and agency does day in, day out via their businesses. So I think we're going to see a lot of education, a lot of awareness over the next probably 12 to 18 months. I think you're going to start to see more success stories. So I do think the movement is going to go there. And as I certainly at Dreamforce, I talked to a number of different large integrators, and there are some that are out there that are doing this very well. There are some that are moving towards this already. And some of the big names, I mean, you can imagine who some of those are. But that's a piece of the entire kind of contracting community. And there's a lot that really aren't going to move until they're told to do so. I think we're going to see mobile. I think we're going to see a lot of apps and such building off of and being delivered off of mobile devices. So it's just exciting, thinking about where the next couple of years are going to be.
I reflect on myself and thinking that I'm resistant to change as well. And let's take this to cars. I believe in Hondas and Toyotas, and I think they last a long time. They're good values. And so my son says, I trust you, Dad. I believe you. And I went and bought a Scion. I said, Kevin, look, I like Toyotas because they last a long time. And he goes, Dad, a Scion is a Toyota. Yes. It's a Toyota motor. I go, well, it is a different package, the same motor. So you can take the basic concept of we have to respond to the needs of our citizens and apply that with the same motor before, but maybe in a different vehicle, huh? Maybe a sure. different way to and by the way, Sign's a very reliable car, turns out, and gets all kinds of awards. So it's the same motor, Dad. It's a different vehicle. So what we want to do is, if the goal is to serve the needs of our agency, you can use that same motor in a different platform, and absolutely. That's all platform as a service is, I would think, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're spot on.
Yeah. So most of your focus is with federal government. What kind of business comes from commercial organizations as well, Jim?
Yeah, so we are, we're heavily vested into PASS, and I think from a business standpoint, probably 60% of our work is defense and civil oriented, and another 40% is in the commercial space. And in the commercial space, it's working with organizations, deploying, configuring PASS across almost every market, manufacturing, energy and utilities, finance, healthcare, and getting deep in with a lot of clients with day in, day out of their business to be able to help them.
Great. More information, you can go to humantouchllc.com. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Jim Benson, Senior Vice President of Human Touch, for a discussion on PASS. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, John, for having us.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.